Okay. So I'm trying to get it in front of me. So sorry. Everyone should have gotten a copy of the report earlier today. Basically, we went through the five LSBs, looking at the seating, looking at those persons who were term limited. And since you already have the report, I'm not going to read it. We can put it on KPFTX later for folks who are interested. But the meeting, which was we met last night, it was John P. Gary, who's a KPFK secretary, Jane Gatewood, who is WPFW secretary, William Heerwagon, who's a member of the PND governance, Nancy Saibara Narutomi, who is a member of both election and governance, as am I. We met, we discussed the three categories of people who are covered in this report. Those people, can you guys hear me?
Yes,
I can.
Oh, okay, thanks. Those people who will have met their personal six-year max by December and therefore cannot run and will not be able to serve in any capacity on the board for at least a year from that time. The people who are in seats that are for election this year, and what was asked at the the staff and listeners, there were three listener seats in each case, and three staff seats and nine listener seats, and then the persons who are in seats that would ordinarily were placed into seats that were filled in 2012 and therefore would ordinarily have been up for election this year, except that the KNB has decided to continue those seats into until the 2016 election. The breakdown is there. Every LSV secretary has had a chance to look at it. If anyone finds an error, please feel free to contact me with a correction. The primary issue for the work group was the WPFW situation. Over in December and January, WPFW filled one-third of its seats, eight seats. And it seems to have been the case that since the 2012 election there, there does not seem to be agreement on who understood what. People who were being seated were apparently told that they were going to be in those seats until December 2015, at which point they would be open for election. And that's regardless of whether the person held moved into the seat that would have expired in December 2013 based on the 2010 election. We did not have elections as a network in 2013. So each board had two sets of seats right now, half that should have been replaced in 2013 and half that ordinarily would have been replaced in December 2015. Apparently in D.C. it was not made clear, and others will opine, it was not made clear that there were in fact separate and distinct terms that were being inherited, and people were reportedly put into seats without a clear understanding or an accurate telling of what seat they were filling at the time. So when we look back since last December, there have actually been one, two, three different seatings, with a fourth seating coming up next month to deal with two more vacancies. So the work group did offer four solutions for each situation. Since then, I guess some of you must have received an email this evening. There was an email that went out with a different proposal. So someone will bring that up. Unfortunately, it was not made last night, so we weren't, as a work group, able to address it. But I do have a motion, but I imagine there may be, I don't know, Bob, a question on how to proceed. Should I just make my motion now and we move from there, or should we have, like, maybe 10 minutes of conversation or discussion before that?
Yeah, well, let's see what
you know, what questions people have or general comments before we get into very specific solutions. So does anyone want to speak on what's been
said? Benito.
Go ahead, Benito.
Okay, just in general, let me say that in the 6 years I've been a member of the LSB, I never, ever understood. No one ever explained, and we have never considered these kind of issues, okay? So when we go to fill a vacancy, normally it's just, okay, so there's a vacancy, so-and-so quit, and you know, this is the next runner-up. So we fill that seat with that person. We just appoint the person if there is a runner-up. Otherwise, when the
idea what happened.
Someone apparently sat on their phone.
Yeah.
What was that? Hold on.
Okay.
Benito, I thought maybe they were trying to do music.
Yeah. Benito, can you finish? Benito, are you still there? All right. Well, while we're
waiting. They have a point of information.
Hold on. Why don't we have Serene answer the part that we were able to hear from Benito, and then we can go on. Benito, are you back?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Marion, too. I had to hang up because it was terrible noise.
Yeah, it was
very not a kidding.
Okay, Benito, can you just quickly wrap up?
Yeah, my only point is that we were never aware of the importance of the seating arrangements or, you know, order, who fills what seat, and throughout the years. So it's nothing new. It just got worse this particular time because we were, filling vacant seats without no runner-ups to consider. So, and in the vote, we never, I got the impression, I read part of Serene's report, only the first 5 pages, that's when I ran out of time. But anyway, I get the impression that people were being placed in some kind of order. There was no order. People were not elected in any kind of, I mean, here we have three listener seats in the December meeting. Three listener seats. We got three listener candidates. Cool. Let's move on. You know, they elected. They appointed, whatever. Three staff seats, three volunteers. Okay, cool. Let's appoint them and move on.
Can you wrap
up? No consideration was made to order.
Okay. Serene.
I'm sorry. You know, Benito's connection is not very clear on my phone, so can you repeat the question? Bob, can you repeat the question for me?
I'm not sure.
I was just trying to raise the question so much, Serene. I was basically explaining that there was no order given. So I, yeah, there was a question in the sense, I got the impression from the first 5 pages of your report that you were trying to place people in some kind of order. As to who seat they fill.
Okay, well, you know, I can't speak to what happened at the meeting or what was, you know, transmitted at the meeting, but from the very beginning, from the very first election under these 2003 bylaws, we've had staggered terms. And if you replace someone, you inherit their term, whatever that term is. So the fact that it was not laid out at each meeting and each time that there were seatings, you know, I think part of the problem, and we can probably address that, part of the problem is that there shouldn't be such a huge delay in filling the seat. There's less room for confusion if things are done more promptly. But looking at what was done, we have to apply our existing rules to who gets what seat. It can't be random. It can't be, well, you know, let's talk to this one and see if they'll take a shorter seat or what. I mean, I don't think it can be informally settled. I think we have rules that guide the length of each person's term, and we have to observe those rules.
I'm not questioning that. I'm simply asking, what is the principle that is being or by law rule that is being applied here? Because I don't understand what order you're trying to put people in since they were all elected at the exact same time.
Without
consideration of order.
Okay, well, I'll try to respond. There were three different rounds of seatings, if you will. In December 2014, there were three listener seats. Those openings came in a particular order. One came in March when Campbell Johnson was term limited. One came in May when AC left us. One came in June when Abby Charles resigned. Therefore, you go to the runners-up list, and I know that people want to use different definitions for the terms runner-up, but whether someone was on the original ballot, the printed ballot when it was sent out, or whether someone was a write-in candidate, which is clearly stated on our ballot as a position, write-in candidate, where they end up, the order in which they end up on that final printed list, the computer-generated list, is the order that must be followed when you're replacing people on the board. The bylaws are clear that when you have a vacancy between elections, you fill it by going first to that list. After that list is exhausted, then the body can decide on a way of appointing, you know, replacements. But as long as there's someone on that list, whether they got there from having run the whole campaign, you know, during the last election, or whether they got there by virtue of being written in, the list must be followed. So the first vacancy should go to the first person who was qualified and available at the time that seat was being filled. The second vacancy would go to the second person who on that list was available and qualified at the time that the vacancy was being filled. That deals with the first three listener seats in December 2014. In terms of the staff seats, the three staff seats in December 2014, that's a slightly different situation. There were no runners-up. In fact, the sixth person from the 2012 election was themselves a write-in candidate, and there was only one. So when these vacancies began, and again, everything happened in a particular order. When those vacancies began, you fill them using a process, and I think your board decided we'll send an email saying if you're interested, you know, let us know and come to the December meeting. So three people showed up at the December meeting having expressed interest. There were three openings, and for two different lengths
of terms, two different remainder terms. Two of those seats were 2013 seats. One was a 2015 seat. Folks were just put into the seat. Any seat. Three people for three people. But they're different terms, so you can't really do that. Retroactively, the only way to address it is to be completely random in how it's selected, which is why we proposed drawing straws. That's the second situation. The third situation was in January 2015. There were two vacancies. You did a publicity thing on the web and I assume on the air for interested parties. There were five people who showed up who were qualified. The board voted using STV for the two openings. The person who received the most first place votes should be the person who gets the longer of the two terms that were available at that time. That's not what happened. I think part of the problem, well, I'll get back to that, but that's how those two seats should be filled. Since that time, one of those people has resigned, and another member of the board has resigned, so you now have two more vacancies. So the work group is suggesting that the fairest way to fill those two remaining vacancies is by going back to the list of runners-up, because there were two people who should have been contacted before the bunch of people who were seated in December, because they were higher up on that runners-up list. One person, and we're, you know, here we're looking at vacancies that, well, whatever. You have these two openings. You have one person who was a runner-up from the original balloted full candidate campaign list. Someone needs to contact him and let him know the seat is available, find out if he's interested. There's someone who was the second runner-up from the write-in portion of the list. No contact was made with her because her phone number was apparently, it was the wrong number or had been disconnected, and by the time the secretary got a good number for her, it was the day before the board meeting. And so apparently there was no contact made. Those two people are entitled to the remaining, the two openings on the board before even those people who may have responded to the recent publicity campaign. The board, the work group suggests that those two people who were way up on that list, runners-up list, way ahead of people who are currently on the board, those two people should be contacted to ascertain their availability and their interest before new people are entertained as possible candidates. Did I answer it?
Okay.
Benito?
If I could just add one quick follow-up.
Very quick, because we have
more clarification. Yeah, so, Serene, I don't understand the concept what's the order, the concept you would use for the listener, the December listener election, because, anyway, the one where they were filling, using runner-ups.
You don't understand... What?
I don't understand the concept being used in order to set up. With the staff, you're saying just draw straws. Okay, that's easy.
But are you talking about the staff or the listeners?
I'm talking about the listeners in December.
Okay, well, there were three vacancies, one that occurred in March of 2014, one in May of 2014, and one in June of 2014. If you're filling vacancies based on the runners-up list, which is what the bylaws require us to do, then the first opening should go to the first person on that list who is available and qualified.
But they were all three available at the same time, is my point.
No. The vacancies did not occur at the same time. The vacancies occurred at different points in time. So the order of the vacancies is clear. And then to fill the vacancies, you go down the list. So you begin with the first opening goes to the first available runner-up. The second opening that occurred goes to the second.
Who is the first available runner-up is my question, Serene.
Copy. I'm sorry. Say again.
My question is, how do you determine who is the first available runner-up?
you go down the list of runners-up as computer-generated in 2012 when they ran the election results.
But the computer says that they all failed on the 11th round.
But the computer put them in a particular order. And even if that order is completely random, it certainly is as good or as fair to everyone as it would as any other idea that could come through, you know, individual people looking at individual people. It is, if it's arbitrary, then it's arbitrary for everyone.
Okay, so, cool. So you
can
come for the staff.
I'm sorry.
Janet Kay, I've been waiting.
Yeah, go ahead, Janet Kay.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to say, I'm assuming this is about the report that was emailed.
Yeah.
And so as far as what was just being discussed, I had sent an updated response to the initial report that has a different option to what Serene was describing. So I would request that people take a look at that, a different option for WPFW, because what should, using the word should, is, you know, it's like, it's not, it's what somebody's opinion might be as opposed to bylaws or something else. But the main thing that I wanted to raise is under item 3, under KPFA, it has 13 with an asterisk for the number of delegates. And I have said that Rich Withers is not a delegate. He is an associate station representative. And so he should not be included in that list. It should not be 13. It should be 12.
Okay.
And you might excuse me, I'm not done.
As a point of order.
So the asterisk, which is next to the 13, I would say the 13 should be changed to 12. The asterisk should go next to Rich Withers if his name is listed among the, as a 13th person. And the asterisk underneath, where it says KPFA has 24 delegates, it should specify that Rich Withers is not a delegate, but an associate station representative. That correction needs to happen. I'm done.
One minute, 30 seconds.
Okay. All right. Who else wanted to speak?
Lydia, can you hear me?
Is that Teresa?
And Lydia.
And Lydia, okay. So Teresa first.
I guess my quick question is, thank you very much, Serene, for explaining what's happening at WPFW, and I'm just wondering how are we going to decide what's done or who's going to do it? Is it the local election supervisor is going to clarify, which person has the right terms, or will the national election supervisor do that, or... because somebody needs to take that initiative, and I'm just wondering how we're going to decide how that problem is resolved.
Okay, so Serene, you want to answer for the working group, and then if Joy wants to weigh in on that, she...
Right, I actually was going to say, I know she's going to be leaving soon, so I appreciate that. This has implications for the current elections, because I think there was so much... uncertainty about what terms people had, that I think there may be people who are interested in continuing with board work, but it was not clear to them. And these are people who are relatively new, right? We're looking at 8 people who are on the board for the first time, and now they've been on for 7 or 8 months. It's, you know, not everybody's into governing the details, right? Not everybody knows this. So, especially because we are looking at an election where there are more openings than there are candidates, and it certainly doesn't seem to be a good use of money to run an election where you already know what the results are going to be, and to make up to these folks for them being caught in a situation where they were misinformed, for
misinformed about what their options were. It might be a good idea. There was some discussion on the work group about whether or not a way to address both the shortage of candidates and to make people whole in terms of their lost opportunity would not be to reopen nominations in a limited fashion to those persons who are already serving but may not have been, and it seems clear that people were very confused about when their terms really ended and what to do if they needed to continue. And the problem here is that when you're really confused, you don't know that you're confused.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't know what you don't know. To answer Teresa's question, I think the older elections in terms of what terms people are in is really a governance issue and not something that our election supervisor should be asked to go back and cure. But there are implications mm-hmm. in any cure, whether the one that the work group has proposed or the one that Jane Gatewood sent in by email or any other thing that, you know, someone might come up with. Regardless of how we resolve all of that, there's still implications for people who are currently on the board who are misinformed. So I would want Joy to give an opinion on that.
Okay, and just before...
Or maybe it's too soon, I don't know.
Just before she does that, I just wanted to inject a historical fact, which is on the question about extending nominations to at a station that doesn't have enough candidates to have a competitive election. That was precisely a situation that one and perhaps, if memory serves, two stations in 2012, but definitely at least one. And the National Election Supervisor in that instance did assert that he had the authority because of this extraordinary problem that made it really a meaningless election to extend the deadline at that station only, or if it was two, then the two stations only. And so there is a precedent for an NES stepping in because of the lack of sufficient candidates to make it a competitive election. I just wanted to mention that for the record, but go ahead, Joy.
Okay. I will start out by saying the obvious in that I wish you guys had done this before the process had begun. And there's a different, there's a different thing from extending a nomination period to reopening a nomination period. Those are two different things. And I don't know from a legal standpoint, particularly from your bylaws and from, nonprofit law, the difference of, being in the middle of a nomination period and then extending the deadline versus nominations have closed and closed for some time and reopening them. So that's something I would definitely have to, look at. I understand, Bob, your point in that, an extension has been done previously. But, was that an extension or was that a reopening of nomination period?
My recollection is it was an extension, and I can look up the paperwork and send it to you.
Yeah. And those I've seen before. Like, I've seen even in the past materials, the extension versus the reopening. And so it's just, you're already in murky legal things of of this process overall. And like I said, there is also the option of the LSB, California incorporation is what Pacifica has. And so the local station board can, based upon nonprofit law there, decide to seat the people that you have confirmed candidates for. Confirm nomination candidates for, and then select via your bylaws process the additional folks. I'm just trying to be really honest. I don't have an immediate response or decision or suggestion on that, but, there are several different options. And the question is just
what's legal and what would be fair. So I don't have an immediate answer. I can look at it tomorrow while I'm in the office and decide that way. But the question is, do you want me to be the ultimate decider, or is the board deciding this?
Well, that's one of the issues on the table right now.
Alan, for the stack.
Is it on the question Joy just asked?
Yes.
Okay, then go ahead, Teresa.
I know that KPFT, there was some question at some point as to who had taken what office and for how long. You know, what terms did they get? And I know that Robert Mark, for example, did extensive. He went back through all the minutes and did that work for everybody. And then we found out later that Adriana Casanave had done the same thing, and maybe even Nancy Zabar and Aratomi. So they kind of got on the same page. I would suggest maybe that the National Election Supervisor contact the secretary, and if not the secretary, the chair, and try to go back with them and just get on the same page and say, okay, we agree that the fair thing is that the next person in line for the first position that was vacated would be this person. Has this person been told that their term ends at such and such a date? And just try to get on the same page. And I guess the ultimate decider, maybe we should decide whether the NES is going to be the decider or the chair. But I think part of the problem right now is nobody is taking responsibility. No one is saying, okay, we have an understanding here on the LSB at WPFW. We have an understanding that this is how, you know, the people have various terms. I don't think anybody's taking that responsibility, and therefore there's confusion.
Bob, can you read the stack? Because I've asked to be on the stack twice. This is Lydia.
Lydia. I haven't heard you, but go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so I mean, I have seen a list that lists the terms from WPFW that is supposedly supported by minutes. And that lists, and I don't know how the terms were assigned to the various people who were replaced, but I'm looking at it right now. And so my question is, and I see that the LES was copied on this same list, and it may not be the same that Serene has, but there are other issues. When someone was asked to run for the board to fill one of these seats, as Benito said, they may or may not have been told which term. I don't think it's an arbitrary, I haven't seen the rule where the person with the most number one votes automatically gets the 3-year term. I haven't seen that in the bylaws, since this is unique and the bylaws don't go into what happens after you run out of alternates. But nevertheless, so someone may be getting on thinking they're only going to be on for 1 year or until the next election. Someone else may believe it's for 3 years. I mean, there's no way to tell. And you only accept your nomination based on how long, you know, some may only accept it based on how long they think they may be on the list. So we can't just arbitrarily assign things that way. I agree with Teresa that this needs to be worked out with WPFW folks, because were there to be any challenges, something that is compelling is what the minutes are. So if, in fact, what I'm looking at with the various assignment of years and terms were part of minutes, then that means that those people who were elected at some point had access to those minutes that delineated which terms they were on, if in fact this list was attached to those minutes. And so the I don't know reference may not apply. But I don't think that we can just arbitrarily assign. I mean, I don't doubt Serene had those conversations with specific delegates or whatever. I'm just saying I really think that WPFW needs to work this out, see if their minutes are consistent with what they included in their minutes as the assignment of the terms and go from there. I don't think it's the purview. I mean, if this comes to the board on September 10th, I will say it's not the purview of the PNB.
May I get on the stack? This is Marion.
Yes. Marion and then Benita. Well, before we're past time, so let's decide how long we're going to extend. It's 10:43. Is there a motion for
Alan moves that we extend 15 minutes with an understanding that if there's anything that we need to get from the election, National Election Supervisor, that we get it immediately.
Okay. Well, we can certainly ask her that question in 1 minute. So is there any objection to 15 more minutes? Okay, hearing none, then that's what we'll do. Nancy, please note the time. And Joy, is there anything right now that, I mean, we hope you can stay a little longer, but if not, is there anything you would like to say at this moment? If not, you can pass. It's okay.
No, it's fast at this time.
Okay. All right.
Can you also put me on the stack? This is Serene. I mean, I'll defer to DC people, and I think there's some on the phone who's not spoken. But
yeah, William Hairwagon on the stack.
Okay. So I had Marion, Benito, and then William and Serene. Marion.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you. Okay, so I came on the board in 2012, and I have never been on WPFW's board before. I've been a broadcaster since the 1970s, but this is, and I'm from Washington, this is my hometown, but this is an interesting situation, and it's highly competitive here. I agree with the comment that was made, the suggestion of having the NES work with our LSB chair and or secretary to clarify the succession, order of succession, who gets, who's the alternates and who gets selected next. I think that's the most fair thing. But I also want to add, and this is for a later discussion, but there's a much deeper issue that I have witnessed for a long time. It's not just with regard to WPFW, but based on the demographics of Washington, D.C., which do not match those of the rest of the United States, women of color, Black American women, Latinas, Native American, Asian American women, and also white women to some extent, are very underrepresented on our board. And we are, so for some reason, it's been brought up to get this few candidates. We are failing. We are failing in connecting with our listenership and having people come in to participate. That's all I want to say for right now. But I think, you know, if you all would help us out directly with the chair and the secretary of our LSB, that would be great.
Okay, thank you. Benito?
Bob, this is Joy. I would like to say...
Sure, go ahead.
Really, really quickly. I want folks to keep in mind the work required, as I gave the update previously, in trying to move the election process, and the National Election Supervisor, just so everyone knows, did inherit a few things from the LES position so that the stations could save money. And then you would then be adding a responsibility of not only those responsibilities on the ballot mailing and materials, but then in determining is this only for one station or for all of the stations, in going through past year's minutes to confirm and identify candidates or board members' terms. I just want you to think about that, right? Because remember, I'm not an employee. This is, you know, you have a consultant, and then I'm also capped in the number of hours that I give based upon the contract to this work, right? So I think that's something that everyone needs to keep in mind as well.
Well, I think that's a point well taken. I just want to ask Serene to respond to the one thing that Joyce suggested, which I'm not sure is any longer the case. There is, well, or anyone can answer this, there's no dispute at any other station except PFW, is there, as to who has what term? In other words, it wouldn't...
No problem at KPFT.
This, yeah.
This is...
Serene?
This is unique to PFW.
Right. So it wouldn't require any work at any other station, just the one. I'm not minimizing...
Janet, okay.
I'm not minimizing the amount of work it would be at PFW, but just in case it wasn't clear that this was a matter of dealing with five different situations, it's really...
Janet, I have a question about WBAI and...
Okay,
so
we were going through a stack about PFW.
I'm talking about this issue that you're raising, that it, also WBAI...
I'm going to make a point of order.
Excuse me, may I finish?
Let Janet finish. Go ahead.
If the minutes can be produced that show there were, I think, five delegates that I had questions on, I have not seen minutes for that document that I would like to see them. I would like those minutes to be shared with the PNB secretary. So if that's possible, that would be great.
Okay. All right. So back to the stack. We had Benito next.
All right. So I would agree that it would be very helpful that the LSB has to be involved in resolving this one way or the other. We're the only ones that know the facts to whatever extent they're known. However, I think it would be politically unfeasible to allow that decision to be made by simply the LSB chair and or secretary. That's not going to fly. And people will not have confidence. So I think that a larger pool of folks from PFW need to be involved in that process. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. William?
Yes, hello, thank you. I'd like to point out,
why don't you say who you are?
William Hairwagon from WBAI. I'm on the Governance Committee, and I was on this work group. Serene has a motion that is very clear, and which hasn't been presented yet. She was going to present it earlier, but somehow it didn't get presented. And the minutes that people are talking about were considered by this work group and probably lots of other people. And the minutes at one point were attached to everything for both the December 2014 and January 2015 LSB meetings at WPFW. So everything is documented and everything is figured out in a way, and I disagree with, someone said that there's no clear thing in the bylaws about who gets the longer term. It's, just common sense that the person with the higher vote count, in the January seating, gets the longer term. There is nothing questionable. There is nothing strange about any of the things that the work group considered and the work group suggested. And then, so there's like 4 points to the motion. And then there's also the idea of, that's not, I don't think it's in the motion, about whether there should even be an election. Since they don't have enough candidates to even fill the seats, that sounds crazy, but it's an interesting point. And then the last point would be that only the people, in opening up nominations again at WPFW, would only be for the people that are involved in this motion that didn't know what terms and when their terms ended for lack of whatever, the lack of knowledge of the secretary and other people that didn't think that it was important. And the secretary has changed her mind a couple of times on how things really went. So looking at the minutes and seeing who is eligible to have terms that ended in 2013, which are the people that are up for election, that should be up for election now, they should be allowed to now run for the election. That might get us, I don't know, a few more candidates. So at least they'd have 10 to fill 9 seats, and you're probably going to need runners up very soon anyway. So I think we should consider the motion, and the elections committee should consider the motion and send it on to the PNB, and the PNB can rule on it. I think that's the best way to go. Getting secretaries and chairs of stations and or PNB involved is just going to be a long process that's probably not going to come to any great conclusion. The people on the work group and prior groups of people have worked a long time on coming to this point where we know what happened at WPFW and we know the solution. So I say go ahead with the motion and send it on to the PNB. Thank you.
Janet Kay, to the
Okay.
All right, hold on. I had Serene, and then let's see, Janet Kay just spoke. Who else?
Eljoy.
Benito just spoke. Oh, Eljoy. Janet
Kay spoke to something else, not to this.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack after the people we have. So,
5 more minutes.
Okay, thanks. So go ahead, Serene, and then Eljoy.
Okay, so William said some of what I wanted to say, because I did want to respond to Lydia's assertion that there's no bylaw provision that allows for the hire the person. When I assume she was referring to the report about the SPD vote that was held in January, where one person clearly got more first-place votes than the other. Unless we view a longer term as punishment, in which case the person with the most number of votes gets to choose the shorter term, yeah, the person with the most number of first-place votes would get the longer term, and that is not what happened. What has happened is that there have been several generations of a report of the status of delegates over the past 6 months that have been quite different from previous iterations. And I'm not saying this to in any way disparage the secretary. As her understanding of things changed, the list evolved. That's how it reads to me, because it changed over time, and there's no reason the facts haven't changed, you know. But her understanding of what happened changed. So clearly, I'm big on self-determination, and I absolutely think that WPFW folks should have a say in this. I would actually like to propose that the LES, the work group, which includes members of the Elections and Governance, PND Governance and Elections Committee, and interested members of the WPFW LSB, actually try to schedule a conference call sometime between now and their LSB meeting, when they're planning to fill 2 more seats, because I honestly think you can't just bring more people into this level of confusion. And see what can be worked out. To that extent, I would like to make the motion that I talked about earlier, and then I will actually move to table it, because it's 11 o'clock and I don't think we're going to get it resolved. As a practical matter, nothing's going to be resolved tonight, except perhaps to form a group to look at it going on. And I would propose that, you know, not to exclude Eljoy, because I'm sure she would love to do this, but that it may make more sense to, I mean, obviously she can join the call if her schedule allows, but it might make more sense to have the LES, who with, you know, fewer candidates than there are seats, can't be terribly busy, join the work group and interested members of the PFW LSC. So that's going to be my second motion. Can I make my second before I send my first? Anyway,
Let me try to send this thing now.
Okay. Eljoy?
Okay. So I want to reiterate again that California nonprofit law does allow for the board to proceed with seating because you don't have the number of candidates required, that it does allow for the board to seat the nominated candidates and then follow the process to appoint additional candidates. I also, just for clarification, isn't Pacifica also doing another election next year?
That's the plan.
Right. And so from WPFW's perspective, you know, to go through this process again, the board, the WPFC LSB, and here's the question, I don't know if whether or not it's just the LSB or the PMP has to approve it. They can seat the nominated candidates because they don't have the more than seats are available, go through the process of appointing additional board members for the other two seats or other seats from the listener and staff category. Then this working group that you're proposing can move forward with determining the seat situation in terms of terms, because there's going to be another election next year anyway, and then that will all be settled by the time the next election, which will be next year, rolls around, and therefore WPSW, which is, as you mentioned, is already cash-strapped, will not be paying for two elections going forward in 2 years.
Okay, thanks. Besides Janet Kay, who else wanted to speak?
Alan would like to say something.
Okay.
And Benito.
Okay, so it's Teresa, Janet Kay, and then Benito.
Responding to the NES's comments, I'm sorry. Put me second on the stack so I can collect my thoughts.
Sure, sure. Okay, Janet Kay.
Yeah, so the citation regarding filling delegate vacancies is Article 4, Section 10. I'm about to email it. And it only deals with filling one vacancy. It doesn't address filling multiple vacancies. It doesn't mention STV. Whatever, you know, doing something that's logical or whatever. Pacifica doesn't always do things that are logical. But in any case, and the bylaws aren't necessarily logical. So I would vote against this motion from the working group if it gets presented. And I would support Jane Gatewood, who is the LSB secretary at WPFW, her objection to that motion.
Okay, Benito.
I would support Serene's proposal for this conference call to try to work this stuff out with the LES. And I really take exception to, I don't mean harm, but to the NES's suggestion that we at PFW just simply seat the folks and not have a real election. You know, the object is to have an election, not to just go through some motions. That's in terms of principle, but in terms of just pure reality, the lawsuit that Lydia mentioned earlier, that which has one of the major issues in there is the lack of elections, comes from PFW. So if there's any station where conducting a real bona fide election is important, it would be to do is to make sure that the one at PFW, I mean, we want to make sure they are real elections, right? But I'm saying the last thing in the world we need right now is to go through some motions at PFW and not conduct a real election. And I know the NES doesn't really know these, but doesn't know anything about this, but I'm just saying that, that's the reality.
Okay.
Got it in the process.
Okay. Teresa, are you ready to speak
well,
yet?
Yes, I do agree with Benito that having a valid election and the feel of the competition is important, not just going through the motions. And I don't know what you can do to open it up, but I'm very sad that we've gone this long and did not consider keeping the nomination process open as long as we had fewer candidates and openings. I also am concerned about what was said about not enough women involved. So something maybe should be done to reach out to women wherever they are in the professions that might want to run. And the point that I wanted to make before was the decision about, I hope that whoever we decide, but we should decide it tonight. So in the next couple days, they get the answers firm and understanding as to who has what terms. I don't care if it's the local election supervisor or whether the national secretary works with the chair and the secretary. I don't think everybody has to be involved in it, but whoever does the minutes, they were elected to, you know, write them up. So I think that the secretary should, local secretary of the LSB should be able to make some decisions with somebody, whoever we agree on. And I think we can't expect the national board to be selecting these people. And if we're not careful, this does affect the pool of people that goes to national. If we don't get enough people with enough experience on the local boards for at least a year, then they don't have enough a pool of people to send to the national board. And that makes it very, very serious.
Can you wrap up, Teresa?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we're past time on this. We need to address the two motions on the table. So, Serene, do you want to restate them? Serene?
Maybe
Serene,
she ran
are you
out
there?
Of power.
Yeah. All right, while we're waiting for her to come back, was there someone else who wanted to speak?
Oh, so sorry. I'm busy talking and the thing is muted. Do I still have the floor?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I sent out the motion that puts into motion form the four recommendations by the working group. I think it's too long to read the whole thing. But I can just briefly summarize that it deals with the December seating of listeners, where we say that the order in which people's names appear on that runners-up list, and by runners-up list, we include both those people who went through the campaign period officially on the ballot and those people who are, quote, write-in candidates, that's the language that's used on the ballot, so they all comprise the runners-up list, that the order of the runners-up list needs to be observed, and that people are placed into the vacancies as the vacancies occurred. One of these vacancies, I'll point out, happened in March. The election wasn't held until December. So we need to address that. That's a separate set of recommendations that will come through. The second part of the motion deals with the filling of the three staff seats where there was no runners-up list, but there was also, unfortunately, no process for determining which three staff replacements
got which seats. We recommend that straws be drawn. The third portion of the motion deals with the January STV vote. STV vote, the result is very clear, 8 first-place votes versus 6 first-place votes. The longer term, and that is always the case in our LSB elections, whenever there are different terms at work, you go through, the person with the largest number of, the greatest support gets the longer term. And the fourth one, which is going back to that runners-up list, that to contact those two people who are high on the runners-up list, both one person who went through the whole campaign period and one person who was second write-in candidate, and offer those persons the two open seats on the board, both with the same term, if in fact we honor the previous STV election results. Both of these current openings have the same term, and that those two persons should first be offered the seat before it's offered to anyone else.
Okay.
Having made the motion, I'd like to table it.
Okay. Is there any objection to tabling that motion?
Point of information.
Yes.
Can we really afford to table this? Who's speaking, please?
Teresa Allen
is asking a point of information. It seems like there's some sense of urgency here. And
well, just keep in mind the second motion is coming in a minute to set up the work group to try to deal with this. But, Serene, did you want to answer that question? Can we afford to table it?
It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast, which covers New York and D.C.
Right.
Yeah, we're not going to resolve this tonight. It's too complicated. It's too complex. It affects too many people. There, you know, we should have gotten to this an hour ago, but anyway, whatever.
Okay. All right. So is there any objection to tabling that motion? Okay. Hearing none, it's tabled, and now hearing your second motion.
Okay. So now my second motion has morphed into being two motions. The second motion is moved that the election committee, LSB/delegates working group, meet with the WPSW LES, and if she's available, the NES, as well as any interested members of the WPSW LSB to work on solutions to the problems created by the seatings of December 2014 and January 2015.
At WPSW.
Well, by phone.
Okay.
The working group is national.
Okay, is there any...
But they're dealing with the WPFW problems, right?
Yes.
Okay, so is anyone unclear on the motion? Everyone understand it? Okay, is there any objection to the motion? Okay, hearing none, that's adopted. And your final motion, Serene.
The final motion, the PNB Election Committee recommends that no one be seated into the two vacant, no one be placed or appointed into the, okay, that no one be seated into the two vacant WPFW/delegate seats until the matter is resolved.
Okay. Any questions for Serene about the second motion?
Yes, I have a question. So,
go ahead.
You're talking about the fact that the WPFW LSB is short two people now? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. There was a resignation in June and a resignation in July, and they have publicized the openings and indicated that interested people should send in their application and plan to be at the meetings for the vote in September, about 10 or so days from now. And it just seems that until the previous matters are clarified, that it would not be a good thing to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So is any other questions about this motion? Okay. So is there any objection to this motion? Okay, hearing none, then that's adopted, and we're past time.
I'd like to register, this is Marion in Washington,
yes.
I'd like to register as an abstention for the second, please.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, we're past time, so we need to adjourn, so thank you all for bearing with us, especially El Joy.
Janet Kay, I'm sorry, I couldn't, my phone was not working properly.
Okay, very quickly, we're way
comment?
Over
yes.
time.
Right. I just wanted to say that this particular motion is just an advisory motion. It's this is a committee of the
PMB. Recommends is the operative
word. Let's not use the word recommends.
And I abstain as well.
Okay. All right.
And just really quickly,
yeah.
This is El Joy Williams, and you know, just for clarification, you know, my I was laying out options and not specifically saying what what the station should do in terms of the W in terms of what I was doing was laying out the options that the WPSW LSB has in regarding this election situation, which is obviously very confusing, and as I previously said before, should have been handled at the board at the local board level previously before the election process began, and certainly don't mean for people to believe that I'm in favor of restricting a democratic process at all.
Okay, well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate your bearing with us and all the work that everyone's done on this complicated issue. So thank you all. Good night, and we'll see
thank
you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bethany.